It was the kind of story that grabbed my attention and then promptly turned my expectations upside down to reveal a deeper, thornier truth. The headline in the newspaper went something like, "God answers prayers of suffering little boy." I read on. The writer explained how for years and years, Timmy had one hope. He had some kind of devastating malady, and he wondered if he would ever be healed. He hoped that someday God would answer his prayers. Finally, the writer went on to explain, finally, God had personally answered Timmy's prayers with a clear and resounding no. The article only grew more absurd from there because it was published in The Onion, the long-running satirical newspaper. And through lots of clever jabs, the author played with what we so often say, that we would like for God to answer our prayers, in order to illustrate what we really mean, which is that we want God to answer our prayers in a very particular manner, by granting what we already know we want and think should happen. The story was funny in that kind of way that also makes you cringe, celebrating this horrible answer in a cheery, sing-song way, which then highlighted how much most of us would experience that clear response as heartbreak. What then are we attempting in prayer? Even though the story was outlandish and made up, it stuck with me. I think one of the reasons I've held on to it is because, in a bitingly Pollyanna way, the author completely ignored how vulnerable it is to ask in the first place. Prayer isn't about simply finding out what will or will not happen. It's about bearing our souls, sharing what matters most to us. It is vulnerable to ask for what we truly desire in prayer. It's vulnerable to name the longing, the hoping, the needing. It's vulnerable to acknowledge the fact that we are not in control. I often struggle to step into this kind of vulnerability. The thought of maybe layering disappointment on top of heartbreak, of asking God for the help I need and potentially receiving none, sometimes this feels like it might be worse than not asking. Sometimes I'm keen to try to cut my losses. It can feel safer to just go it alone, to try to work it out myself, to live as if I have the reins in my own hands. Praying for help, asking God if things could please unfold another way, this can feel pretty risky. This is why, when I stop to really consider what is happening in our gospel reading today, I see that Jesus' actions are staggering. We can get lost in all the talk about glory and who's glorifying whom and how eternal life is transpiring on and on in the circles that John tends to lead us through. But at the core of this passage, Jesus is showing us his deep vulnerability. At first, it sounds like everything is happening just as he thinks that it should, like he's in control. It reads like classic Gospel of John, where highlighting Jesus' divinity is always a central goal. But then, as he continues on, something shifts. Jesus softens, and we get to witness a searching string of prayers. It's not just us either, but all his disciples receiving the gift of listening in, of observing Jesus at prayer. It's already been a shockingly intimate night for them. The scene here is the Last Supper. It's the night before he'll be killed. They've broken bread together. He's shared it even with Judas. He's washed their feet despite their reluctance and resistance. And now he's both saying goodbye and also commending them into God's care. As he prepares to step into the betrayal and pain that are waiting for him just outside, first he pauses to pray. He slows down to pray specifically for his friends. "I am asking on their behalf," he says to God, speaking about his disciples. He's asking that they may know God, asking that they may believe and trust, asking for their protection, asking that they may have unity and peace. He's praying for his students who are present and listening in. And I think he's also praying for all of us who will find him much later. It shows how Jesus remains fully human, that he doesn't know how everything will work out, but that he's still riding this great hope. And again, it's vulnerable. He has a clear sense of how bad it's going to get for him, and presumably he can guess what might lie ahead for his friends also. He asks God to care for them, not knowing what the answer will be. Of course, despite what The Onion reported, no can be a terrible answer. But also the silence, the waiting, the not knowing, these ache. The apparent absence of a response can itself be overwhelming. Asking, naming what we most long for opens us up to all of this. And Jesus does it anyway. The longer I've been sitting with this odd example of Jesus interceding on our behalf, his prayers dancing with the high theology of John, but then also grounded in the grit and heart of his last night, the more I've noticed not just the words, but the grammar, the conjugation. In his prayer, Jesus says, "I am asking." It's a gerund, one of those words ending in ing. The prayer is not finished. Instead, it's open-ended and ongoing. It sounds to me like the prayer has become his stance. It's a way of being in the world. It's not a one-time thing or a last-ditch effort. He doesn't say, "I have asked," or "I ask now," but rather, "I am asking." It's a practice, a stance. This asking is a way to be. If we back up to consider the whole scene, there is a way in which it can seem rather funny. It reminds me of a comic where Jesus is praying and the speech bubble says something like, "Hi God, it's me, you." And yet, even with the intimate understanding and relationship that Jesus has with God, still he slows down to show us the way. Hanging on to his humanity. Still, he comes to God asking. I've heard this passage referred to as the other Lord's Prayer, and held alongside the Lord's Prayer we pray together each time we gather, it seems a bit ridiculous. This one is not succinct or clear. It's not something we could easily memorize. We won't be able to call it to mind in a crisis. Instead, I think this other Lord's Prayer comes to us as the reassurance that when we pray, It is absolutely fine if we too are meandering and human and confused and hopeful and angsty. And it's all right if this is all swirled together. This jumbled mix is what Jesus brings to God in prayer. And this means that we can be this way with God also. We don't have to have it all figured out. Though it's okay to really, really want things to play out in a particular way, just as Jesus did. God welcomes our longing. She meets us there in the ache and in the hope, however life unfolds. She celebrates with us in our joy, holds us in our weeping, and everything in between, even drawing near when we, in our loneliness or fear, cannot perceive her. When I risk the ask, when I gather the courage to name what it is that I am longing for, I find that God meets me there. Not necessarily with the answer I think I want, or even with a clear answer at all, but consistently, reliably, faithfully, God is present, receiving the question, holding me in that hope, and staying close beside me, however it plays out. We cannot control what comes, but we can choose how we step forward and how we live whatever does come. Vulnerable as it is, we can choose to live it all in the shape of hope, in this stance of prayer. Again and again, we can come to God and simply begin with, "I am asking."